last Tuesday evening, June 14th.
Lord, we ask your blessing on our time together. Knit us into you. Knit us into you. Knit us into you. That we would be a part of what you are. We would have your mind, and that you'd share your mind tonight, and that we would receive it. Well, do that good work by your Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
In the 28th chapter of Isaiah, I think that a lot of this is a prophecy concerning the time where Jesus was here. And a lot of these people, it says, in that day shall the Lord of hosts be a crown of glory, for a diadem of beauty unto the residue of his people. For a spirit of judgment to him that sits in judgment, and for strength to them that turn the battle to the gate. I think he's really talking about the time that he lived. And, but they also have erred through wine, now listen, and through strong drink are out of the way. The priests and the prophets have erred to strong drink. They are swallowed up of wine. They are out of the way through strong drink. They err in and they stumble in judgment. They had a drinking problem.
Kind of sounds that way.
Yeah. So the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they had the stipulations of that. And how much wine like we do today, you know what I mean? They didn't get pulled over for riding a horse too fast, you know? But anyway, it says, for all tables are full of vomit and filthiness, so that there is no place clean. It makes me think that we're talking about time. And it says, whom shall he teach knowledge, and whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the belly and drawn from the breast. For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, light upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little. For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people. That, among other verses, caught me. You mean he's going to speak? God is going to speak to us through stammering lips and another tongue? Oh, don't people receive the Holy Spirit? Don't they say that the Holy Spirit fell upon them? And they spoke, they spoke in other tongues? Well, anyway, I think that the baptism of the Holy Spirit is, I know it's a God-given gift. It tells us that in the second chapter of Acts. And it tells us that in several places, that it's a gift. And this gift is upon you and your children, you know, to as many as our God shall call. I can't find it, but I know where it is. I know it's in there.
Is it Romans 8? Or?
It's actually, it's Acts 2.
For when the Spirit fell on them?
Yeah.
I think it's Acts 2:12.
You were looking for a parallel one in Romans or something?
Acts 2:2. 3 and 2 4. They were filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance.
Maybe you were trying to highlight what you read in Isaiah relative to Acts 2:15, which Peter goes to some length to say, we're not drunk. So.
I know what happened. Yeah, I got two pages stuck together. And it doesn't say the right thing in this page. Oh, here it is. Yeah. For the promise is unto you and to your children, to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. That's the promise of the Holy Spirit. Now, I started to see some weird, some strange things. In the first chapter of the first Corinthians 14, not the first chapter, but in the first couple of verses of the 14th chapter, it says that he that speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not unto men, but unto God, for nobody understands him. Albeit in the Spirit, he speaks mysteries. And so, what is the reason for speaking in tongues? It's only in relationship to God, to speaking to God, is it? And then it says, he that prays in an unknown tongue, his spirit prays, and his understanding is unfruitful. So what am I going to do then? I'm going to pray with the Spirit, and I'm going to pray with understanding, and I'm going to sing with the Spirit, and I'm going to sing with the understanding. You know? But, there's a major revelation, and I'm starting to get it. God uses our tongues to pray to himself. And as he does, he knows the heart condition. You know, he knows all things about us. And I'm getting to be old, boys.
Well, apparently, according to Isaiah 28, he is speaking to us.
That's what it looks like.
Yeah. That might not be the whole story, though.
No, it can't be.
Yeah.
Because he never spoke a tongue, to my knowledge.
All right. Well, he must somehow use to speak to his people, the people speaking in stammering lips and an unknown tongue.
Yeah.
But then we don't understand it. He's speaking, you know, that's a little funny. He's speaking to us and we don't get it. But we do in some sense get it, I believe. Our spirit is edified.
Should have had the other Bible. it's a funny thing that we spent so much time in the eighth chapter of Romans, and yet we miss so many verses. I hear these verses at 2 o'clock in the morning, you know, 4 o'clock in the morning, and it says in Romans 8:26, it says, likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. And I started to realize what you're saying. Why don't we pray as we ought? Because we don't know how to pray. That's why He gave us tongues. And so the Spirit makes an intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And He that searches the hearts knows what is in the mind of the Spirit, because He makes an intercession for the saints according to the will of God.
You know, you start trying to nail down just what tongues do, what, in what way we are edified or whatever, you can't do it. And that reminds me quite a bit of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I mean, if we had a nice, tidy definition, you know, got it all figured out, it wouldn't be the working of the Holy Spirit. It'd be some kind of man's work or something, you know? And you're kind of groping, and I think groping is the right response.
Yeah,
how do you do anything but grope? No.
And that's kind of where I'm at. And yet I know there's a major revelation right here.
But even if you were to get the revelation, you might not be able to express it all in words and make it all nice and, you know, convey it so, oh yes, anybody understands that. You know, that's not the way of it. That's not the way.
But I knew, I'm glad you guys are here, because I knew that if anybody will get what I am getting beginning to get at 3 o'clock in the morning, it'd be you guys. Mm. And so, why did He ever give us begin tongues?
Because we don't know how to pray.
Because the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And so Elijah was a man of like passions, like we are. And he prayed for 3.5 years that it would rain in Israel, and it didn't, and it rained. And when he asked it to rain, it poured. And he ran out off the mountain, girded up his whatever he was wearing, and beat the horses down the mountain. So he was moving right along.
I do find it kind of interesting that there in Isaiah 28, before this, when it speaks about line upon line and so forth, it is talking about an abusive priesthood. You know?
Yes.
So organized religion is failing. It's failing. You got abusive ministers. You know.
They have erred to strong drink.
Right. But nonetheless, I mean, the Lord hadn't given up, but it does have to be through funny means, odd means, stammering lips in an unknown tongue. You know, that's odd. That's just plain odd.
God wants to use us to pray for a lot of things that we don't even know what He wants us to pray for. And the Bible tells us that we are to pray for our leaders. And so, which one do we pray for? Do we pray for all of them? Do we pray for the one that wants to abort the general, that he would keep on aborting him, or do we pray that he won't? You know what I mean? Who do we pray for? And I think that God wants us to be specific. The funny thing is, Elijah, it was attributed to him that he had done 7 major miracles, and Elisha was the one following him, and he prayed that if he saw his mantle, whatever, that he would get more than twice as many, and it's attributed to him that he got 14.
Mm.
Not that that's a big deal, but to somebody it would, because I remember hearing about it.
Elijah's are a little more memorable, though.
Yeah.
Right now I can't come up, I can't remember any of it. I think it's pronounced Elisha, but I'm not sure. Maybe it's Elisha. But I know, can't think what Elisha did. Come up with a few that Elijah did.
One of them had an axe head that floated.
Yeah, that might have been Elijah. And he threw, the water was bad, and he threw a branch in there.
What, was that with him, or was that in on the Red Sea?
I don't think it was the Red Sea. I think it was there was some river that it was, the water was poisoned, threw a branch in there, and it was, threw the branch in, and it was good for drinking, or a pond or something, you know.
Anybody working outside today?
I did a little stuff in the garage for a while, but that was it. Oh. And I was sweating doing it, just sharpening the blades. The other night I happened to listen to some music, and I got this feeling that if we're getting close to presenting the truth to the church, and then when whoever doesn't want it anymore or isn't interested, that we go out and then we'll start going out in the highways and byways. You know, there's the thing about people that are addicted to things and whatever, they know they are, and they know that they'd probably like to get rescued, you know? Get delivered. Just, I don't know, there was something about the way the music was going. It just showed that maybe it was some of the wording about reaching out to those that are desperate, you know? They know they're sinners, you know? And they know they're lost, you know? And see, the church, I'll tell you, that service, it was like pretty much everybody was saved. I mean, you know, he was, I knew the guy fairly well. I don't think he'd probably been in church for who knows how many years, you know. But he was in heaven walking with Jesus.
Well, he's baptized, wasn't he?
Yeah, so he was, yeah. Yeah, I mean, it was just, you know, it's just an assumption that if you just do this, you're good.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
So, just assuming, you know, just. So, anybody's, I'm sure a lot of people said they're going, well, good, I gotta be good, because actually, I went to church, I go to church a lot. Mm-hmm. You know? Whatever, I don't know. It was just. It's kind of sad, you know, that.
Of course, funerals are a funny time to talk about.
Yeah, I know.
Narrow is the way.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Right. So, you know. And for all I know, maybe she went over when he was in his last few days, and who knows, you know. I don't know. That part, you know. So.
That is what you do in response to that. That thing, I don't know.
Yeah, you don't stand up there and say, well, I think he probably is in hell because he didn't live a very good life. You know, that's just not what can happen, you know. Shouldn't, you know, be too offensive.
Well, you want to be, have it work. And there might be a day, I suppose, when you feel a prompting from the Holy Spirit to be speaking truth, even though the situation on its face doesn't seem like the right time to do it. That could be. But until that day,
yeah, right.
You're not going to do any good, I don't believe.
No, it'll be a setting that the Lord presents that, you know.
Yeah. But you don't exactly want to go be complicit in the fraud either, you know, when you're, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's a fun situation.
Do you want to hear with the miracles of Elijah?
Yes. Yes, by all means.
He struck waters and said, where is the Lord, the God of Elijah? And he struck the waters and they were divided apart.
Elijah or Elijah?
Elisha.
Okay.
And this is basically all in 2 Kings 2. He went to the springs of waters, he threw salt in it, and said, the Lord says, I have healed these waters. There shall not be any more death or barren wasteland from the poisoned water supply.
Threw salt in, not a branch, huh?
Threw salt
in. Well, maybe the branch was where the ox head, the axe head. Okay.
He saw a man who cursed them and in the Lord's name. And two female bears came out of the woods and mauled 42 of the people who were speaking poorly.
Yeah.
Old Testament John of Justice. You did what? You're dead. Multiplies the widow's oil. He said, go borrow empty containers from all your neighbors. Don't borrow just a few containers.
I like that one.
A woman becomes pregnant. A woman conceived, bore a son. At that season, when the time came around, Elisha, as Elisha had prophesied or had said to her, he brings the dead man to life. Then he returned, walked the house back once and forth, and then went up and stretched himself on him. And the child sneezed seven times, and the child opens his eyes. Again, he makes poisonous food safe. And bring meal. He threw it into the pot and said, serve it to the people that they may eat. And there was nothing harmful in the pot. Multiple loaves. So he set before them and they ate, and they had some left over according to the Lord's word. Kind of interesting.
Like feeding the 5,000, huh?
A prophecy of multiplying of loaves there.
Yeah.
Heal Nathan of leprosy. Went out and dipped himself seven times in the Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God. His flesh was restored to the flesh of a little child and was clean. Elisha makes an Ed Hax, makes an axe head float. The man of God asked, where did it fall? He showed him the place. He cut down a stick, threw it in there, and made the iron float. Seven was, open the servant's eyes to see angels. Elisha prayed and said, Lord, please open his eyes that he may see. The Lord opened the young man's eyes, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire around Elisha.
Elisha.
I'm sorry, it's hard to say that we're not Jah. All of these are Elishas. These are the 15 of Elisha.
I would say Elisha.
Yeah, so I'm sorry if I. Elisha or Elisha? Miracle 12 is when they came down to him, Elisha prayed to God and said, please strike these people with blindness. He struck them with blindness according to his word, Elisha's word.
Yeah.
And then 13 was, restore the sight of the Syrian army. Then when they had come to Samaria, Elisha said, Lord, open these men's eyes that they may see. He opened their eyes and they saw, and behold, they were in the middle of Samaria. 14 was, food will be abundant. Hear the Lord's word. The Lord says, tomorrow about this time, a sheaf of fine flour will be sold for a shekel, and two sheaves of barley for a shekel at the gate of Samaria. And then 15 was, revive a dead man, a dead Moabite man. As they were burying a man, behold, they saw a band of raiders. They threw the man into the tomb, into Elisha's tomb. As soon as the man touched Elisha's bones, he revived and stood up on his feet.
After his dead then, huh?
just touching his bones. So, yeah, I guess it was nothing overly standoutish other than that axe, that metal floating in water.
I'm bringing the kids
up. Yeah, a couple guys got heals, and a couple people raised from the dead. It's easy to get lost. But the sheer number, I mean, is kind of interesting.
Yeah,
I always found that whole setting interesting because Elisha is walking around to being the apprentice of Elijah. And Elijah, he's going, well, what's going on? He says, well, if you see me tomorrow, if you see the chariots take me up, then you'll know that your time has come. You know, there's this, you know, and I guess maybe that's where the Jews said, well, look, if he's going to take Elisha up in a chariot of fire, the least we can do is when the Messiah comes, there'll be some sort of fanfare.
Yeah, something like that, right?
It's like, it seems only right, you know. Moses parted the sea, you know, I got against the, you know, what's this guy coming in the dark of night in a manger, in a stable? Come on.
Mm-hmm.
You can just see him going, that's not the way it's supposed to work.
I like the one about filling all those pots with oil. You know,
mm-hmm.
Go out and get as many pots as you can get. You filled with oil.
Yeah, they'll just be filled. Keith, the Lord has got you on this. He's not letting, not letting you go. You've got this bone and you're on it.
Well, the thing is, you know, we've got Glenn and a number of people that, that don't speak in tongues. And I'm saying that it's not because God doesn't want them to. And so somehow they got to know that. God wants them to speak in tongues. And he wants us to speak in tongues. And he wants me to speak in tongues at three or four in the morning when it's just him and me. You know?
Yeah, it's... You know, for someone who's been following the Lord for a long time, but hasn't had that happen, I think the enemy just comes in and fills them with so much doubt that it just becomes more difficult to receive. Because
I know things about all this that they won't come to mind right now. So kind of keep this whole thing in your mind as you're praying. And God wants to use the gift of tongues a lot more than what I have understood.
Yeah, I would hate the idea of our just sitting and not making use of what's available for us to use. I hate that idea. You know, be able to, who knows what, but just not do it because, I don't know.
Yeah.
Unbelief combined with, you know, indifference or something.
Well, I want to be careful because I don't want it to be this. I don't want it to be braggadocious or something. But I just automatically start praying a lot of times during the day. Don't even think about it, and I'm praying in tongues.
That's what you're supposed to do.
You know.
But if you can't do it at all,
right.
That's a handicap.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And I'm thinking that there's got to be, I don't want to say an easier way, but you remember that couple that came and prayed for people to get into the Holy Spirit easier?
The Hunters, are you thinking of?
The Hunters, yeah. Mm-hmm. And I'm not just repeat after me. And I thought, no, come on. But you know that a lot of people got filled with the Spirit that way.
Well, it's hard to argue with that.
Yeah. And I knew that some people got filled with the Spirit that way. One of them was Ronnie and Betty. Of course, Betty wanted to get filled with the Spirit after she was in Seattle. And she saw what was happening to people.
You know, I think we just got away from having it be like a common thing. You know?
To be speaking in tongues, you mean?
Yeah, and to be presenting it, to be offering it, you know?
Some of that is our fault, or my fault anyway.
Well, it's any of our fault, I think, that we just kind of laid back a little and said, oh, yeah, I got to get, you know, and we didn't. It is important, and so and it was always, it used to be, you know, a lot of it.
I didn't really see the value until about a couple weeks ago. Then it started to roll, just really strong, and I can see the value, but I can't say anything right now.
Well, I agree, Kip, that not an excuse, but I know that I kind of step back from trying to make sure I wasn't thinking I was exercising a gift of the Spirit or a gift of, you know, a connection or, you know, I just kind of, you know, I just want God and I want nothing but God and I, not so much, you know, I just wanted Him. And so I kind of pulled back. And I think there was a season for that. But I think we have been, and not in a not a lack of humility, but God has been giving us revelations and insights to the Word to the point now where we would not easily be deceived by the enemy like we were in the past. And so we've been girded up in the Word to the point that we should be more seeking of this, of the gifts, because I don't believe that we'll be easily fooled. I mean, I'm not saying we can't, and I'm not saying we're anything special. I'm just saying that what God has given us to help us make sure that the light that we see is the light of God, we should be trying to move from, you know, an understanding here to more of what God can do on a spiritual level, because the Scriptures tell us that's where the battle really needs to be done.
That Scripture in Luke 11:13, where it says, if you then being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more will Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those that ask?
I mean, some of the thing was, like in Acts 5 or on, if you presented salvation, you presented the gift of the Holy Spirit. You know, it's like, well, have they received the gift of the Holy Spirit? No, we didn't know what that was. Well, then let's get this done. You know?
Let's meet the way.
It was almost like a package thing. It should have been, you know, when you were born again, the next you need to be filled with the Spirit by having the gift, speak in tongues.
And it might be, I don't know, but it might be that the environment would make a difference.
Yeah, well, sometimes you can make the environment. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, we kind of went away from that environment, more or less. So. And I don't think we need to just start trying to make up some kind of situation on our, you know, on our natural, but it's like, well, if you would present somebody with the message of being born again, then just you'd present them with the gift of the Holy Spirit also, you know, and just have that mindset, you know. They're all important. First step, of course, is to be born again, you know, obviously. I think we almost maybe thought, well, if they really want it and they ask, then we'll pray for them. Well, they don't even understand that they need it. Some, a lot of people don't, you know. And now that, that Josh has been hearing more about it, he's got an interest. He's, you know.
And he's had a spiritual experience which has awakened him.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's got to be tough right now that he's working all this time.
Yeah. Hopefully he's got a tape going or something.
Yeah. But it's a season. You know, if you can hang on, get through a month. And
I did check in with Jill. Asked him how things are going, and she said good.
Yeah.
So I think he's...
I'm sure he's happy to be working.
Well,
nice of
that,
yeah. That puts some of the things at ease in a person, you know.
Sure.
Things are okay with the kids and all that, though?
Well, I just asked, I didn't say the kids specifically, but I did ask about...
The general situation.
He was going in light of the things that he shared, you know, a couple weeks back, and she said good, so she seemed to be still happy about the trend. And so, but, Ken's right. I hearken back many years ago when I first came to the church. It was give your heart to the Lord and speak in tongues. I mean, and there was a time there. It wasn't like they, now that you've answered this altar call, you need to speak in tongues. But, there was an emphasis on you need to seek the Holy Spirit. You want to be able to speak in tongues. You want that gift. God wants to give it to you.
Well, that was around when all that was happening. For whatever reason, didn't happen.
Well, that's why I made the other comment. I think I think the enemy can just get in there. Well, it's really, it wasn't for me. It's a gift, and I'm not supposed to get it.
What I find remarkable is that no one has more, if you're as many, like what you might call a vision or something, as Glenn.
I was thinking that too. It sure would be nice if Glenn could speak in tongues. On the other hand, I sure wish I had the same amount of Holy Spirit on me as Glenn seems to have. So it's like, how does one go? Well, I can't. But I do think that the Holy Spirit, and the sword of the Word, it gives you power to do that war against the principalities.
Yeah, we must not. And Ken, you talked about not being braggadocious, but so being a little hesitant to be talking about what you do. But you talk about what you do kind of was a convicting thing for me, and I have been speaking in tongues more than what I have been. So I guess I say, well, maybe going ahead and bragging is a good idea.
In this case, maybe there's a problem.
But
well, it's just I wanted to use the gift. Use it.
And we ought to be able. We ought to be able to say those things without being a little hesitant because it might come across as bragging or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
We need to. We need to have that be the environment here. And if it's not the environment, we need to work for that environment. So push the envelope a little and do what might come across as being bragging.
We should boldly want to use the gifts of the Lord.
Yeah, and make a confession of that too.
I mean, actually, I think Scripture pretty much calls out that where you don't use that what God gives you. Not good.
In some regard, that may be the revelation that you get it and you use it.
Uh-huh.
Just use it.
Right. Yep. Now Jesus said, don't go sitting on the corner of the, make it clear that you're praying.
Oh yeah, right. No,
you go in your prayer closet and do that.
You
don't
necessarily mean in front of people.
No, I know. But there's contrary spirit. Contrary advice that you get from Jesus all the time. But
I'm kind of looking to the day when I hope the Lord says, speak in tongues to that group because I don't know what I'm saying, and they do.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
It's not for you to know, it's for you to be his servant. But,
and that's a way, I can see that. See, that would go along with Isaiah there. And he would speak to his people with a stammering tongue. With somebody that doesn't know what they're speaking because it's in their language, because I think that's one of the aspects of it that can be that God would use.
Cool. Yeah, Pentecost sure happened.
Yeah, great.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it wouldn't hurt if we had a little more maybe tongues of interpretation. But you can't just make that happen. But you can be asking the Lord to grant it.
Yes, you could. That's right.
But the thing that we have to realize somehow is that God has more intention for tongues than what we realize. it's his, you know, God is spirit, and we it's our spirit that prays. And so it's a spiritual, you know, spirit to spirit. Not that it all is, but I don't even know what I'm saying right now.
I won't come as any surprise to you that a theme of mine is eating the Word. You know, have it be like digestion, not having it be something that our mind grabs a hold of. And tongues is kind of like that too, I think. You know, it's along those lines. We don't understand when we digest food. We don't understand when we pray in tongues, you know?
It says that when you speak in tongues, you speak unto God. Because no man understands what just has been said.
Yeah.
I never thought about a lot of those scriptures until I heard them, you know, late at night.
My wife had a party that Seavers were at here on Sunday. And it was all her music friends, and it was Neil Young. It was all the music was Neil Young, you know. So it was certainly secular, whatever you want, worldly, what, you know, whatever. that on Sunday morning, when Jean got up, I asked her, let's pray for the day. Pray that she gets all worked up and nervous about having the arrangements be right and whatever. Pray for that. Pray that that all happens smoothly. And pray that the Lord's blessing will be on that time. And I don't know how you felt, Corky, but I felt like that there was a nice, good feeling, like the Spirit of the Lord was present. There was a blessing. I don't know. You know, everyone talked about, gee, we had a good time. You know? And, you know, on the one hand, boy, that's odd. That's odd to have the Lord, seek the Lord's blessing on what it was purely a secular time.
Yeah.
On the other hand, hey, if there are people there that, you know, you were talking about needing to... there'll be a time when people will know that they need the Lord.
Yeah. See, and if you're out there,
yeah,
then they're going to come to you.
Yes,
you
exactly. Know? That yeah. There's a raft of people out there that would know kind of where to go to,
yeah.
Whatever, you know. And if there is a kind of, I don't know why I feel so good, but gee, I feel good here. Since then,
you know, it's. I was really surprised, and I this one, the daughter of the husband and wife, you know, well, Andy and his sister Amy are the two kids of Mark and Candy, and so Mark's the one that passed. But Amy, back way back when, had a horse, and she, you know, was at the stable part of the time. And part of the deal was when he bought the land up the road from that we were riding in a lot, because it was just 80 acres and nobody used it, and so we'd ride it through out there a lot, trail riding. And so when they bought it, then Bill said, well, as long, if we can keep riding up there, if you don't mind, you can come and use the arena at any time. So she would do that sometime. So I'd have interchanges with her and stuff, and it's like, well, it was such a big deal when we put that stuff around the house, you know, the stuff you put around bushes, I can't think.
Oh, the...
And the other name.
Yeah.
Anyway.
You can talk about that stuff, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we went and did that for her at her, you know, the mom at her house, and she was...
Mulch.
So appreciative. Well, she was already texting her son and daughter when we were there that we were doing this, you know. So then we're going through the line, and they were situated in different places. And I mean, there was hundreds of people just at the visitation on Sunday night. And so when I got there, she was like, oh, Ken, I'm so glad to see you. I was asking him to make sure you were going to be here. And it was like, there were some people saying it, and she said, yeah, he was just the nicest guy. I always thought about you. And it's like, what? You know? But it's that I...
That's a mulch.
Well, no, it's because all the whole time, of course, I was saved and whatever. And so, you know, I was never harsh with people. I never swore. I never did, you know, when we were around. And I always was in a good mood for the most part all the time. It's kind of been all my life. So, but I think the blessing of the Lord was there. Just with the same thing like you're saying, you know, that if you're just being sweet in the world, people are drawn to it.
Yeah.
They notice it, you know?
Yeah.
And so, yeah, it's, and so I attribute that to the Lord, that he put something out there, you know, with his spirit. When you're interchanging and just having friends, you know, yeah, it made me feel really good because I thought, wow, I never thought I had that kind of an impact on her, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah.
There's a song that we play that I think touches on this really well where it says, let them see you and me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think that is really the goal. I mean, to your comment, like, you don't know, there might have been someone who was really struggling, but they... Whenever they interacted with you, they felt a piece of it, and they weren't feeling somewhere else, and God creates an opportunity, you know. And so, and then you can do an act of kindness that surprises them in the natural, and you go, you know, it's no big deal, this is what we would do, because we want to be humble about it anyways, but you don't know the impact it can have.
Yeah.
And so, you know, that's... It's kind of the way I look at that sort of thing.
I am not shy about praying in what is kind of an odd situation sometimes. You know, I somehow or other do that. A lot of things I don't do, but I do that, and I, you know.
We had a nice time, but I got to tell you a cute little story, which kind of, I think, kind of fits in with this. We knew that we wouldn't know many people there, but Jean had asked us to be there, and we knew it would be important to her, so we, you know, we were going to do that, make that effort. And we ended up sitting down and having a conversation with Lindsay and her husband, Jake, whom I have never really met. I knew that was her husband, but I had it.
Lindsay Harshman.
Yeah, kind of chance to talk with him. And during the course of the conversation, I mean, they didn't know anybody, and they weren't sure they were going to come because they wouldn't know anybody. And so they ended up the two couples that really wouldn't know anybody end up sitting next to each other because they knew each other, you know, as you'd expect, right? So one thing leads to another, and they're talking, and Lindsay starts talking about how Grandma Bonnie has been talking about how wonderful it is that Corky is always getting over there and getting that coffee going for the Tuesday morning women's prayer group. And it is, because, you know, God's love Bonnie is supposed to start at 9:30, and she's there at 9:10. And she wants her coffee at 9:10:02. So I'm like hitting that, going, okay, it takes this long to perk, and I'm like, whoop. So it's kind of a goal of mine, like, as she hits the door, I'm pouring, you know. So, but anyways, she really appreciates it, and she's told her granddaughter, Lindsay, you know. So one thing leads to another, and so Bonnie's sharing this with me this morning. And I'm talking to her, and she says, well, that's kind of funny, because you were talking to Lindsay. They usually don't go to those things because nobody talks to them, you know, because they don't know anybody. I said, well, I can tell you that wasn't the case yesterday, because I talked to Jake, and I asked him what he did, and how long he's doing, you know, what his last job was, now he's here, da-da-da-da-da. Yes, I've been known to be able to talk. So, I'm sitting there thinking, to your point, it's like you just don't know how God can use a situation that seems so harmless and so non-spiritual, but you don't know what's going to happen.
Right.
Lindsay is in the process of becoming a nurse, and she was saying how that they have told her that if she wants to pray with someone, feel free to pray. That's what they're teaching her. So that Susan had a chance to tell Lindsay about when she was in the hospital, and that angel, she had her angel, you know, and I was explaining to her about just how, we don't talk about it much, but no one knows how grave it was for Susan. I mean, there were people who tell you that she should not be alive today. Four certified doctors go, stroke, heart attack, yeah, not that. Seeing way, way too many embolisms. And then to have that experience, and it turned around and was a blessing, and it fired Lindsay up, like, oh, how neat. And, you know, so, you know, and we had, this is just conversation.
Yep.
You know, and who knows what God can do with that, with relative to Jake, and maybe feel more comfortable spending more time with Christians, and maybe something rubbing off there, and encouraging Lindsay and what she's doing, and, you know, so. So I think the prayer was effective, Charlie. And I hope that the Lord used the seers a little bit, so.
Sure. Yep. Uh-huh. Yeah. Well, I believe angels wear cardigans more often than they have wings.
Yeah. Any final words, Keith?
Barely.
Yeah. Well, it's a tough day, you know, when you get a day like this.
Yeah,
it zaps the juice right out of the guy. So we can. It was good, but it wasn't long. How was that? Love you all.